glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I just want to be mindful. And you can turn me down a little bit. My voice is a little louder than yours.
Amen. Go.
All right. Amen. I want to thank, as Minister Simon said, we want to pray for the Simon family. Amen. That's a hard thing to really deal with when you in one place and your husband is working in another place and you don't hear from him. When the police go check on him, they find out that he has died, amen, and not knowing why. So we want to be mindful to keep them in prayer, amen. She's now a widow with young children, so amen. We don't take anything for granted. Can I get a praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Truly, we thank God tonight for all of those that made it out to the house of prayer. Amen. As the praise team was singing and everything was going forth, the song came to my mind, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
All right.
Anybody want to be a sanctuary?
Hallelujah.
Anybody need God to touch them tonight? Amen. Now, last Friday, I said we weren't going to go back to when Lord God speaks to you, but we're going to finish. Can we go one more time? Yes. If we can come to church one more time, we can go back to when God speaks to you just one more time.
One more time.
Amen. Because I didn't, we really didn't finish it, and you know, as I was praying and at home, the Lord brought some other things to mind. So we're going to do it with that tonight, but we just bless the Lord for his goodness and mercy. Amen. And we thank God that God is God. Anybody glad God is God?
Amen.
Anybody glad God? Imagine only if you were God.
Oh, Lord.
Lord, help us. Imagine if I was God. Lord, please help us. Amen. How many times we really miss the mind of God and we find out later, Lord, I thought it was one way when it was really another way. Amen. That's why the scripture says that his thoughts are not
our thoughts.
His thoughts are not our thoughts. God's ways are not our ways. They're past.
Finding out.
So we're going to ask you to stand, amen, as we go back to Acts chapter 26. Amen. I don't have my notes tonight, so we're blessed, and then we can be in trouble. We're blessed and we can be in trouble. We're blessed because maybe I won't remember them, but we can be in trouble because maybe I remember something that I didn't go over last week. Amen. But nevertheless, I say, Lord, speak, Lord.
Speak, Lord.
Lord, speak, Lord.
Speak, Lord.
For thy servant.
For thy servant.
Hear it. Amen. You know, it's a blessing in being in church. People find so many reasons why they're not in church. Amen. When we come to church, I heard the psalmist sitting in thy presence. Oh. Anybody like to be in God's presence? Amen. Just like God, like Moses told God, amen, as he was leading the children of Israel, he said, Lord, if your presence don't go with us, we're not going to go.
Right.
Amen. Moses depended on God's presence, and we too need to depend on God's presence. We've got so used to human presence, we forget that God is everywhere at all times.
Yeah.
And we forget that without him, we can do
nothing.
Amen. So we're going to read verses 13, and we'll conclude by reading verse 19. And we've gone over it several times, so we should know it by now. But let me get to it. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice
speaking to me.
I heard a voice. We talk about what God what?
Speaks
to you. So Saul says, I heard a voice speaking to me. Isn't it a blessing when God speaks to you? Come on, isn't it a blessing when God?
Amen.
You know, I like for God to speak to us. Lord, but I'm more blessed when you speak
to me.
And I heard him speak to me how? He spoke to me in the tongue that I was the most familiar with. When God speaks to me, amen. I know a little Spanish, but God don't speak Spanish. I know a little French, Lord don't speak French. I know a little Jamaican, though. But Lord, when you speak to me, amen, it's important that God speaks to us in the language that we understand. So Paul said, I heard him speak. And he says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? This next verse means it's hard for you to go against God. In our language, God said, don't fight me. Saul, Saul, it's hard for you to go against me and win. You can go against him, but you're not going to win. Amen. Next verse. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am
Jesus.
I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the power. Actually, can we just go on to verse 16? Because we went over this before we get to this. I just want to get to verse 16. He says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to thee.
Heavenly,
may the Lord and the blessing to the reading of his word. And the church said,
word the Lord.
If blessed, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. So, the scripture, Paul said, I heard him speak to me, and he spoke to me in a voice that I could clearly and fully understand. Amen. And he said, after God spoke to me, he asked, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Amen. So it's important for God, for you to hear from God, but it's more important that you do something with what you hear. Amen. And Saul or Paul told King Agrippa, he said, I was not disobedient to what God told me. And tonight, this is part three of when God speaks to you. Now, we said on last week, whenever God speaks to any of us in the church and move us into a certain direction, especially if it's a direction to be used by God, you can be assured beyond a shadow of a doubt that the devil is going to put up a wall of resistance to try to discourage you. Amen. And we said last week, a lot of times people say, wow, I thought getting saved would be easier. How can getting saved be easier when the devil is trying to get you back? But I heard the scripture say, where sin did abound, let the devil fight all he wants. Amen. Let him put every roadblock, a stumbling block in the way. But where sin in abound, grace did
much more.
In essence, what they're saying is let the devil fight, but God will fight harder. In the church, God will fight harder. So it's so important, amen, that when God speaks to you, you know what, as I say, a lot of times people come to church and say, oh, but God gave me a word for you. Absolutely not. That's not how God works. See, I was in church and Lord, my spirit was stirred as I heard God speaking, and all I could think about was you. You just missed what God had to say for you. Because God does not speak to anyone else unless they're in a prophetic or spiritual position when you're in church. When God is speaking, he's speaking to you. Amen. And then we get so excited and say, oh, let me tell you what God told me for you. Amen. What God told you was not for you. For them, it was for you. Amen. I heard, well, I won't get this right, but I heard a guy said that he was dealing with some situation, and he was dealing with how ugly and nasty people could act. Until as he was describing how they was acting, he saw himself. Isn't it amazing how sometimes we think we're trying to help somebody else, and when you really take an objective look, you see
yourself.
You see yourself, amen. Now, last week we said something, and I don't want you all to think I just make scriptures up, amen. Right? I don't want you all to say, wow, wait, I never read that in the Bible. Now, we went over last week. What did we go over last week? Let me see who remembers. Actually, haven't you all heard of this before? All right, I didn't think so, because we went kind of fast. Amen. But it's just like when remember the Bible said when Jesus resurrected, a lot of the dead saints did what? They got up and what? Got up and walked around the city. And even when Jesus resurrected, all those dead saints got up and walked around the city. Now, if I know somebody's been dead and I see all these people walking around the city, I'm going to know that there has to be some kind of a spiritual miracle. Amen. A spiritual miracle when someone that's dead gets up and do what? Walk around. So, we went over last week the spiritual legacy and the impact that Elijah had, S-H-A, not J-A-H, had on Israel. But can you go to 2 Kings chapter 13 and I think it's verse 20. 2 Kings verse, chapter 13, verse 20. We went over this. A spiritual legacy is when you're gone, you're still impacting others. Amen. Your spiritual legacy, when you're gone, you're still impacting others. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 13 and verse 20. Then this is the type of life, the kind of, this is the type of spirituality that we want to have. Is it frozen? Okay. Now, this is Elijah. Let's see, after his death, let's see the kind of impact he has, amen? And that's what we want to do in church. When God speaks, God is moving. How many want to be in tune with the heavenly program? Amen. Lord, I want your heartbeat to be my heartbeat. Lord, I want to be so in tune with God that I'm moving the way you want me to move, how you want me to move, and most important, when you want me to move. It says, and Elijah died, and they buried him. So he's what? Gone. Amen. And the man of Moabites invaded the land of at the coming end of the year. So this was the Moabites once again invading Israel. Amen. Now, I said, I know y'all probably have read this, but y'all, we're making notes. So y'all don't say, you can verify I did not make this up. All right. Now, when I said this last thing, I said, everybody's eyes look like, nah, I ain't read that. That ain't in the Bible. It's in there. Amen. And it came to pass as they were burying a man. So if they buried a man, he's what?
Dead.
Right? If they buried a man, he's what?
Dead.
If you don't bury live people, amen? Come on, y'all. All right. You don't bury a live person, you bury a person that is dead. As they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a man of men, and they cast the man into the sepulchre of
Elijah.
They threw him in. Elijah was dead, and the man was dead. Hallelujah. But there's something about you when you got the Holy Ghost. There's something about God's Spirit. Amen. Even though you're not there, hallelujah, God is still alive. Amen. It says, and they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elijah. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elijah, he what? Revived and
stood up on his feet.
Stood up on his feet. That's something about God.
Right.
It's something about when you have a touch, a real relationship with God, even in your absence, even in the when it looks like you're gone, you can still have an impact.
Right.
So the dead man touched his bone and got up. Mm-hmm. Lord, I said thank you.
Hallelujah.
That's when you know you got a relationship with God.
Right.
In your absence, you're still affecting dead people. When God speaks
to you.
So now y'all want to say, Pastor made it up. Because he read it for yourself.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So we're getting back to when God speaks to you. Now, one of the things when God speaks to us, and God speaks to every last one of us, from the time we got saved, and even before God was speaking, the problem is, when God was speaking before we got saved, we were like Samuel. The Bible says Samuel did not yet know
the Lord.
So when God was speaking and calling Samuel, he did not realize it was the Lord because he did not yet know
the voice of
the Lord. But once you be saved, now you
know.
Now you know the Lord. And you know when God is speaking
to you.
And you know, a lot of time in our excitement, when God speaks, we make God all. Anybody make God some promises?
Yes.
Anybody make God some promises? Listen, I'm not going to trap you. I'm not going to say, how many of you have fulfilled the promises? I'm just saying, have you made God some promises?
Yes.
Amen. We all made God some promises. Amen. Amen. Now let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We make God promises. Amen. Just like Saul asked Jesus when he stopped him on the road to Damascus, he said, now what do you want me to do? And we went over the hardships, all the difficulties that Saul had. But Saul said, none of these things
move me.
None of these things move me, neither can I my life dear to myself, that I might finish my course with joy to testify the gospel of Jesus Christ. I wonder how many tonight have been moved because of the difficulties, the challenges. We don't talk about Jesus anymore. Amen. You can tell when somebody's going through something because all we talk about is their troubles. Amen. All right. I understand. But I'm just saying, you know when somebody's going through something because you see them, you're excited, and by the time you leave them, it's like, wow, I went through the wrong door. Amen. Y'all think that, but we think that about each other. Like, whoosh. Lord, I got to go pray for another 10 hours after that. Amen. Because all I've heard about is your troubles. Well, when God stops us, he speaks to every last one of us. Now, you have to have an ear to hear what the
Spirit
says. I'm not talking about what people are saying. What is God telling you? Amen. Saul, remember Saul said, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to what God was showing and telling me. God speaks to everything. When you got saved, God spoke to you. And before you came out the water, he spoke to you. Amen. And we all made promises, but time, trials, discouragement, challenges have caused us not to keep those promises to God. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
The scripture says, be not. Is that first one? No, go to one, sorry. Before we be rash, we got to keep our feet first. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
It says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to what?
Yeah.
Amen. So when you come in church, say, Lord, I just want to.
Yeah.
Everybody do this right here. Y'all have to say, Lord, I know it's been a hard week.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, I think you can move your hand, right? I want to what?
Hear.
Just want to hear. Amen. More ready to hear that than what? Give the sacrifice of food, for they consider
not that they do evil.
When you come to church and you just start doing a whole lot of talking and making God promises and doing things, you, a lot of things we promised God, we forgot.
Mm-hmm.
But I guarantee you, if you get a hold of God like you ought to, God will bring those things back to your
memory.
Because that's what the Holy Ghost does.
Mm-hmm.
Those promises, I'll never leave you. Lord, I'll never leave you. Those promises we made God. Amen. When we were quiet and listening. But hardships and trouble got a way of making you say a whole lot of extra stuff. Can I get an amen?
Mm-hmm.
He said, but be not
rash with thy mouth.
And let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything
before God.
Before God. And we made God some promises because God spoke to us and we responded. God speaks every day we live, God is speaking to us. Now the devil camouflages or tries to disguise God's voice to try to get the advantage. But how many know we're not ignorant of his? When God moves you in a certain direction, God does not change his mind. If God is trying to take you to a higher spiritual plane, God's not going to try to bring you down at the same time. So when you find that battle, then Paul said, I find that the good that I would do, I
do not.
He said, in the very thing that I purpose in my heart that I would not do, that I do. He said, I find in my body, there's another law. There's something else trying to bring me into captivity to this body of sin and death. Hallelujah. He said, but thanks be to God that giveth me the victory through
Christ Jesus.
Saints, our victory is through God. So God is speaking, we're listening. Now many of us have said some things, amen. It says, for God is in heaven and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by
multitude of words.
Multitude. You know, that's the scripture. Now I'm going to go back to Proverbs, because y'all read this about, let's see, fourth month. So this is the fourth time. Amen. Y'all read this in Proverbs, because every day of the year, we read a new Proverbs every day. 31 Proverbs, 31 days, most months. So this is the fourth month. No, fifth month. So now we're entering into reading this five times. The Bible says a fool answers a matter
before its time,
before they hear it. Mm. all right. Okay, I got a message for you. I got to get that yet. And that's one of them that's back in the back, you know, back books. Amen. So we just keep, every month we keep going from like Proverbs 1 to 10. No, I'm only kidding. But the Bible says a fool answers a matter before they hear it. See, a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. When you make a vow to God, amen. This is not to bring us under condemnation, but it's to help us get back on track spiritually. Amen. The things that we promised God through the years, through the months, through the week, that we've allowed trials to make us to forget. God did not forget. Amen. When thou vowest a vow to God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no
pleasure in fools.
You know what the scripture said? When you say something to God, don't just open your mouth and start telling God all you're going to do, because God has no pleasure in it. Amen. But then it takes away a lot of other excuses as we continue. It says, pay that which thou hast vowed unto God. Now this next couple of verses is going to deal kind of hard with us. But we're talking about when God speaks to you. Amen. Anybody tired of letting circumstances and trials get the advantage and victory over you? Anybody tired of not glorifying God in hardships and troubles? Amen. Are we tired, Lord? You know, I don't know I don't know how long I'm going to be on this earth. But as long as I'm here, God, help me give my best to be my best for God. Help me do my best to be my best for God. Lord, there's a whole lot of things that I've said through the years. Bring those things back to my remembrance, because God did not forget. And he's holding us accountable for the promises that we made unto him. Amen. He said, better is that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay it. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Now, this is where it gets a little real sticky. You know, because I always tell y'all, this is not meant for any of us here. This is meant for the website audience. Amen. We put it on the website. Well, as we say down south, lesson is you. He says, neither say thou before the angel that it was. Lord, I said it. But because of what I've allowed, my circumstances and trials to cause me to do, I'm saying it's an error. I made a mistake. I really didn't mean it. Amen. He said, wherefore should God be
angry with that voice?
That God knew when you said it, and he knew in your heart that you meant it. But because of circumstances and trials, then you said, I really didn't mean it. It was an error. He said, and destroy the works of thine hand. Amen. And is that verse 6 or 5? Is that 6? All right, that's in 6. So, you know what that means? A lot of times we say and make promises to God, and he would say, well, God, I really didn't mean it. God said, I knew your heart when you made the promise. God said, I knew your heart when you made the promise, And the angel is my witness that you meant it. But trials, hardships have robbed God for the vows that we should have paid. Amen. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 23. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 21. So God has spoken, and we also have spoken. But we are trying to take back our promises. We're trying to take back the vows that we made to God because of hardships. You know, we use this excuse. Well, when I made the vow, I did not think it was going to be this bad. Known unto God all of his works from the beginning. When you made the promise, God already knew what you were going to go through. So now let's just go through it and get over it. Amen. Verse 21 of Deuteronomy chapter 23 says, when thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not
fail.
If you made a vow, don't take it back. Amen. We used to say, I made a vow to the Lord and I
won't take it back.
Amen. And you know the thing about your vows? Nobody knows but you and God. But be assured of this, God does know. And it was not an error. You did not make it in vain. You made a promise to God. Amen. It said, for the Lord thy God will surely
require
the promise that you made. Don't take it back. You know why? Because God's going to
require.
You might be getting the Bible down, amen. And we know the Bible says the judgment begins at the house of God, but there will become a day of reckoning when we have the answer to God. Amen. That's why the Bible says we must give an account for every idle thought and word. The day of reckoning is coming. But God has been speaking in a lot of our circumstances. Amen. And the good thing about God, we know when God has spoken directly to us and we've responded. But then we get away from church or get away from that spirit of conviction and we try to change. God is still going to require that of you. Amen. All right, y'all say amen. Keep going. I'm sorry. And it will be sin. So when you make God a promise, how many want to be right before God? You know, I've learned through the years, most people are going to think something bad about you anyway. No matter how hard you try to do right, somebody's going to always have their own opinion of you. So I've already concluded through the years, I just try to be right with God. Somebody's going to always think the wrong thing about you, but God knows everything is about us. He said, I have searched thee and I have known thee. And listen to this. He said, I am acquainted with
all of thy
ways. He said, there's not a word in thy tongue, but behold, I know it then altogether. God knows everything that is about you. Therefore, I conclude, I just do what's right in his eyes. Because he knows the end. He knows the end. God already, listen, everything that we're experiencing today, God already knew was going to take place. Amen. And God heard your vow. Now, it's not important for us to know your vow, but it's important for you to know the vow because God is going to hold you accountable for those vows that you have made. And God said, don't allow your mouth to cause your flesh to sin. You made God a promise. Amen. And we're going to go to chapter 14 in 1 minute. Not yet. Hardships and difficulties make us break our promises. Amen. Anybody make God a promise? God, I want to give you this money. I'm going to do that. And all of a sudden you get a hard time. And say, oh, God, I changed my mind. God said, no. I'm just using money for an example. All right. So, you know, don't worry. I don't get caught up on money too much. You know, if, like I said before, I can have all the money I want, but it's not about money. It's not about these things. It's about pleasing God. What does it profit a man if he gains the what?
Whole world
and
lose.
What can a man give? And tonight, we're dealing with soul salvation. We're dealing with what does God think about you? We're dealing with what have you and God discussed one-on-one and you have broken and reneged on it. What things have you made promises and thoughts and affirmations have you made to God, but you allow the devil and hardships to cause you to turn your back on God? I like what Jesus asked them. He said, except you eat my flesh and drink
my blood.
The law was going spiritual, but they were staying carnal. This is what happens in church. God goes spiritual on us and we say carnal. What do you mean by that? He meant what he said. And God dealt with you in your spirit and your conscience, and you knew what God meant. Amen. It said from that day many of his disciples, a disciple means they were a what? A follower. They were on the Lord's side. Said, many of them went what? Back. They said, this is a hard saying. How many in church have gone back because they say it's too hard? And so Jesus said, will you go? Will you go? Also? He said, Lord, where can we go? Thou hast the words. The other day, Matt brought it out when he was preaching one. He said, that's John 6:6. Yeah, to take that verse out of the scripture. Amen. That's 666. We're back. We're going to go from 664 to 665. Say, Lord, take all the 666s out of my Bible. No, we're kidding. I think we get a few smiles. Come on, y'all. But how many of us have gone back because of hardness? Amen? Difficulties. Promises that we made to God, we have snatched them back. Jesus said, will you go also? He said, Lord, where do we go? Tonight, this should be our, Lord, where can I go when thou hast the words? Where are you going to run to? Where are you going to go? Everything we need is all in Jesus. But if thou shalt prepare to vow, it shall be unto thee sin. If you have made God promises and you've taken them back because of hardships, the Bible said that you have sin. Because to him that not guesseth, but to him that what?
Knoweth
to do good. That can also be, you can always also paraphrase that, you know the right thing to do.
Yes.
Amen? Look at somebody. Can we talk to each other? It's easy when we talk to somebody else. Right? Isn't it easy to tell somebody else? It's hard to tell ourselves. But you know what is the right thing to do. And then the scripture says, for him that knoweth what is the right thing to do, for him that doeth it not, for whatever the circumstances are, it is
sin.
To him that knoweth to do good, for the theologians that want to be politically correct. To him that knoweth to do good, to him that doeth it not, it is
sin.
You know what is the right thing to do. For whatever the reason is that you don't do it, in God's eyes it is. Because you don't guess, but you what? You know. Amen. Now let's go to Acts chapter 14. Last week we went over the difficulties, the challenges that the Apostle Paul had to face. But he says, none of these things, none of these things move me. Now this is another testimony of how Saul or Paul went through hardships. But he wouldn't allow anything to rob God of his promise. He said, I was not disobedient to the what? To the heavenly vision. Has God given us some special private visions? Has God spoken to you privately? Only you can answer. Are you obedient to that, or have you been disobedient? Salvation, Paul said, you know, the problem with church is you're supposed to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And you're working out everybody else's salvation and you wind up lost. Work out your own salvation. Yes, I want my wife to be saved. And I know she wants me to be saved. But I can't allow that to get in between what God wants me to do. Amen. There's a battle. There's a war raging. And the war is for your soul. That God is fighting for you, because every time the devil fights, he gives you more abundant grace. The devil is fighting. God is there to aid and help you. But you're surrendering to the trials because you're fainting in your mind. And that's why Jesus said, men are always to pray in what?
Not to faint.
Let us not be weary in. For in due season we shall reap if we
faint not.
Are we fainting? Have we grown weary? If you're fainting and grown weary, it says, if you faint in the day of
adversity,
it reveals that your spiritual strength is small. We need to build ourselves up on our most holy faith, and that is what?
Pray
in the Holy Ghost. Verse 1 reads, now this is Paul's testimony for weaving into hardships. But then, don't jump ahead of me to verse 22. But verse 22, I know, someone's already went there. Verse 22 talks about how Paul was able to endure the hardship. Amen. Verse 1 said, it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up. You know, you always got somebody that's going to stir something up. But don't you allow that to offend you. Amen. And made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time therefore bold they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So God is what? Moving. Amen. Because of Paul's preaching and teaching, the Lord is moving. Amen. Now you got a lot of believers, but you always got troublemakers to come with the believers. But don't you let that stop you from doing what God has told you to do. Amen. Long time, but the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to... the world of God blessing like this. People get saved and you got somebody that's trying to what? Stone them. Why? What evil have they done? What did he do as bad? Jesus asked him, he said, what evil have I done? You're always going to have your naysayers. You're going to always have your talkers. People are going to always say something, but don't you have, you don't have to listen. Allow that to affect you and what you're doing, because your relationship is between you and who?
God.
So people will talk. Just, amen. The song said, the more they talk, the more I bend my knees. When they talk, you keep praying. Amen. It says, next verse. They were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Iconia, and unto the region that lies round about. So they were in the one city, they heard. Then they flee to Lystra, Derbe, which is part of Iconia. Now remember these cities, because later on, these cities are going to play an important part in letting you know you can't allow anything to stop you from what God has called you to do. Amen? And there they preach the gospel. And there said a certain man in Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his
mother.
He had never walked. Amen. Next verse. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfast beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet, and he leaped and that God performed. He had been a cripple from his mother's womb. He was a grown man. God performed a miracle. He jumps up, he leaps and walks. So who did it?
God did.
Come on, y'all. Who did it?
God did.
Amen. Who touched him? God did. Miracles come from God. So God is now using the Apostle Paul. But trouble always comes when God blesses. Amen. The next verse. And when the people saw that what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of the Lycaonia, But God shall come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garland unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostle Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do?" Paul said, "Wait a minute. Now, listen, this is such a miraculous appearance, a manifestation of God, that the people couldn't equate it because they didn't really know God. So they thought that they were gods. So God is using them, what? Marvelously and mightily." Amen. But whenever God uses you, you better be assured trouble's coming. Amen. He said, "We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that we should turn from these vanities turn from everything else and turn to the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in time past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, and that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and a fruitful season, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these things scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice." They were acting like they were God because of the miracle. Amen? "And there came thither," from where? Now, he already left Antioch, which I call him, and God was using him. I've been in no trouble to follow you. But how many are going to allow that to stop them or cause them to be disobedient to God's vision? So Paul leaves one city, and they follow him. He goes to another. And all the time, God is not just, he's not just preaching, but God is performing miracles. But the devil is never persuaded that you're going to make a stand for God. So you get excited, and you forget to watch as well as pray. Say, "God is using me now, so I can let my guards down." When God uses you, you better put every guard up there. Yes. Because the devil is coming down your track. Amen. He's not on your back, but he's on your track. Trying to turn it back. Amen. And now listen. They just wanted to act like they were gods. Amen. Paul had to stop them from doing sacrifice to the fact that they're God. But how many know the devil can use people when God is blessing you? Amen? Who persuaded the people and having... Wait a minute. Didn't they just want to do sacrifice here that he was a god? Now they what? Stone Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead. Howbeit as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the... Not a long time later, Paul was not disobedient. That's why he was able to say, "None of these things move me." He was suffering. Amen. He stoned to the point that he's dead. This is, many believe this is the time when he was called up to the third heavens and saw things that were unlawful for a man to utter. And whether it's true or not, we don't know, but that's what most people believe. But they had stoned him. Then, after he has gotten stoned, he continues on his course. What? You know, if some people throw a little apple, paper airplanes? Remember when we used to throw little paper airplanes? They hit us too hard. Amen. We want to quit. Paul is stoned, and they think he's dead. But he refused to be disobedient to the heavenly vision, and he refused to break his vow that he made to God. Amen. He was going to endure until the end. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they... Wait a minute. You just got stoned and you went back? Now, the reason we're using this illustration about when God speaks to you, how many of us have allowed things to stop us from doing what we know God has called us to do? Every place Paul went and suffered, he went. What would he do? First of all, he was supposed to be dead. What is he going back for? They already stoned. The first city he escaped from, they wanted to stone him. The next city, they stoned him, and he went. I wonder what little light afflictions are we permitting to stop us from being obedient to the voice of God when God has spoken to us. Amen? If you hear me, just give me a wave off. I want to say praise. Let's do it. Just give me a wave off. I know you heard me. Hallelujah. Heard the Lord speak. What little things are we permitting to hinder or prevent us from doing what God has called us to do? So he went back. But the scripture said, confirming. Paul said, that's why Paul said, I count not my life dear unto myself. But this one thing I do, forgetting.
Yes.
If Paul was mindful of the stoning and the threats, it would have been hard for him to keep going. He said, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are tonight, church, forget it. It's in the past. Today is a new day. Forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to the things which are reaching forward to the things which are before, it's time to what? It's not easy. Do you think it was easy for Paul to go back to the same place that he had been stoned in? But now Paul is what?
Pressing.
How many of us are just quitting, refuse to press and fight for God when we know that God has spoken to us? Go down in the crevice of your heart and soul and say, Lord, forgive me. How many things have I allowed to hinder me in my walk with thee? How many people have I permitted to get in the way? How many threats have I permitted to deter me? How many false threats from the adversary have I allowed to make me withdraw my vow to God? How many? What? Who? Has it stopped you? Paul said, confirm the soul of the disciples and exhort them to what?
Continue.
And that we must through
much tribulation.
Much tribulation. It's not going to be easy. But did Paul live it? Yes. Paul didn't just talk it. He what?
Lived it.
You know, one of the things the late Dr. Lulu Jackson used to sing, one of the things she always said was what? Who remembers? All right, I'll help you a lot. She said, Lord, help me to live the life I sing about. Help me to live the life I talk about. A lot of us sing it and a lot of us talk it, but guess what? We don't live it. You need to start. We all, not just you, me, all of us, we need to start living the life that we sing about, live the life we talk about. We talk about God as a deliverer. Amen. When somebody else is going through it, we tell God to make a way out of no way. Then when we go through it, we can't even hardly get out of bed. We can't face anybody. It's time to get up and live the life. Stop allowing the hardships and trials to rob God of the praise that is not guarantee, but it's due. Due means you what? Owe it. God is being robbed of the praises due his name because of our difficulties. Amen. Do you believe that God is faithful? And that God will never place more on you than you're able to bear? Then it's time to get up. Amen. Let us rise, shine, and give God
glory.
Come on, let us rise, shine, and give God the glory. Amen. Paul said, we shall do much tribulation. Enter into the kingdom of God. The next verse, we only got a couple more. And when they had ordained their elders in
every church.
Every place that he had had trouble, he went back and ordained the elders and confirmed the souls. Amen. We have hardships and trouble. We run. I won't run from nothing. By anyone, by any devil. Amen. Even the place that I'm left, when I see people, I'm just as proud today. Because Paul said, I am what I am.
Hallelujah.
I am what I am by the grace of God. And I can assure you for me that his grace will not be stolen upon me in vain. So I need my stand for God. Talk about me, don't make a difference. God is my witness. I'll stand. Not by myself, but I stand on his word. Amen. And when they had ordained the elders in every church and they had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed through, now listen, he's going back to what? All the places where he had his hardships. Maybe that needs to be a starting place. Some of those hardships that we have surrendered and quit, conquer those. Did not Paul say through the word of God, we are what? More than? We are more than conquerors through him that loved us as we all stand. Indeed, we shall have hardships. We will have troubles. But has God spoken to you? And have you responded back to God? Now, what are you going to do with the promises? What are we? Not you. What are we going to do with the promises that we've made unto God? Are we going to continue to allow hardships to rob God of the praise that is due his name? As the elders and the ministers come forward, amen. When God speaks to you, you know what God has said? And God has spoken clearly with no ambiguity. What are you going to do with what God has told you? Where are you going to go? Where are you going to run to? Amen. We sing a song, Lord, I surrender. Anybody ready to surrender tonight? Lord, I just want it to be your way. I'm tired of standing in God's way, so Lord, I surrender all of that.